It's playoff time in the NBA and NHL. Baseball's in full swing, and FanDuel is your place to bet on every single game. Right now, new customers get $150 in bonus bets guaranteed. It's guaranteed. That's $150, win or lose. Bet on everything from slap shots to home runs to slam dunks, all on an app that's safe, secure, and easy to use. What are you waiting for? Visit FanDuel.com/Stewart and make your first bet an automatic win. FanDuel, America's number one sportsbook.
21 plus and present in Massachusetts. First online real money wager only. $10 first deposit required. Bonus issued as non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire 7 days after receipt. See terms at sportsbook.fanduel.com. Hope is here. Gambling helpline ma.org or call 800-327-5050 for 24/7 support. Play it smart from the start. GameSenseMA.com or call 1-800-GAM-1234.
B-Pod Studios.
Listening at home to Toucher and Rich is simple with your Amazon or Google smart speaker.
Oh, I need one of those.
Just say, play 98.5 The Sports Hub.
Clippers can take this down to about a minute to go, leading by 4, 114-110.
Dangerous man with that basketball right there.
Lou Williams killing some time, 9 of the shot clock. Al Horford jumps out at him. Here's the lob. Harrell catches, throws to the corner. Open Beverly, again another 3. Celtics jumping around, helping on defense, leaving guys in the corner for the second consecutive game. Boston down 7, final minute.
98.5, The Sports Hub, we're Toucher and Rich. Brian Robb, Celtics beat writer for the Boston Sports Journal.com, joins us in studio.
All right, so I want to ask you first, before we get into all the technicalities and all that stuff, after the game on Saturday, I heard several different writers say that most of the team had left, and all they heard was in the gym or the workout room next door, something getting knocked around, and they knew that Marcus Morris was in there, and it sounded like he was throwing something. What was the scene like after the game Saturday?
Yeah, so it was just a contrast, Richie. After the Lakers game, it was pretty upbeat locker room. Like, no one was like bumming too much about it. After this game, you know, everyone wanted to get out of there quick, or Morris and Ogilvy, actually, who didn't play in that game, was doing a workout next door. And they were throwing a medicine ball against the wall as part of the workout. So you could kind of hear that in the locker room being like, oh, man.
Okay, Morris, now, Ogilvy is like a freak of nature. Like, he's a workout machine. So I could see him doing that. This isn't something Morris usually does, right?
No.
Okay.
Generally does not. I mean, he played 30 minutes that night. When you play 30 minutes, you generally do not do a workout immediately after their game.
Okay, so this screams, I need to throw something, and I need to make it look like I'm not completely pissed.
Exactly. So he just knew, hey, I am ticked off right now. I need to blow off some steam before I talk to the media. And whether it was, I mean, he waited. We didn't talk to him for at least 30 or 40 minutes after the game ended, and then he still said all this stuff.
Okay, so you said the PR guy came up to you guys, and what did they say?
They were just like, hey, it's going to be a while, you know. Do you want to wait for him? And we're just like, you know, just after hearing that next door, like, yeah, I think we're going to wait for him.
Yeah. And no one left, I'm sure.
No.
All right. So what did Marcus Morris's comments, like, I mean, from, you've heard all throughout the year, there's been little things, little snipes back and forth with these players. I mean, you can go all the way back to, all the stuff that Kyrie Irving said. Marcus Smart about 2 months ago said we're playing like a bunch of punks. Mm-hmm. Guys getting called out left and right. Yet they still seem to not hate each other, according to Gary Washburn.
But they more like tolerate each other.
Yeah. So what's going on? What's wrong with these leads being blown?
Yeah, I mean, I think it is a situation where how Gary described it, I think, is pretty accurate. Again, they haven't all been able to get on the same page at the same time for most of the year. And that is a situation where, and I mean, going back to Marcus Morris, he got in that shoving match with Jaylen Brown in that game in Miami.
That's right. Yep.
So there's been, again, there's all, and then you had Kyrie asking for a veteran like a month into the season. So all these little things keep popping up. And if you look at them individually, it didn't look like a huge deal for any of them at the time. But then you put it all together with Morris coming out like this and literally, you know, not throwing everyone under the bus, but just like ripping the team. And he didn't name individuals. He didn't name the young guys specifically here like Kyrie did. But it's pretty clear that when you look at the stuff he was describing, like the hero ball, just the not the effort stuff, you can guess who he's pointing the finger at. And it's mostly the younger guys. He's not pointing the finger at Kyrie and Al Horford and Gordon Hayward in this situation. He's pointing at the guys who he thinks are kind of out for themselves more. And again, this is a situation that, you know, we're 56 games in the season now. You'd think they had team meetings, they've had, you know, rotation changes. You'd think they'd be all past this, but it's clear that this game on Saturday night opened up all these old wounds, even though they'd won, like you said, 10 of 11, you know, prior to these two games against the losses.
Now, how would that, but what would that piss off the younger guys that say, hey, you know, without you guys, you know, we went to a Eastern Conference final?
Yeah, I think that's the problem.
100%. Yeah. Fred, because it's a situation in this game on Saturday night. Like, I went back and watched the whole second half, be like, okay, how did this happen? How do you blow a lead to a team that has like five new guys playing for the first time? The Clippers had remade their entire team. They'd barely played with each other before Saturday night, and then they looked like they ran all over them in that second half. And a lot of it was effort stuff. A lot of it was transition defense. And Morris was part of the problem in that game. Mm-hmm. He was taking bad shots. He wasn't getting back on D. He wasn't communicating on D. Again, everyone deserves blame from that game, but to call out everyone else and not like also take it on yourself, or just to do it in a public forum like that. I mean, we'll see how this team responds, but like, I could easily see how the young guys are like, what, you're doing the same problems here. Why are you calling us out?
It's weird because it seems like anytime there are like one or two players that are missing outside of Aaron Baines, for some reason, he's the guy that they really seem to need defensively. But whenever there's like one or two players missing, whether it's Kyrie or it's Al Horford, the team just plays better when there's guys who are injured. Is there an addition by subtraction here? Like, if you could just remove one or two players from this team, do you think that this team would have better cohesion?
I think it would have better, you know, role definition in the sense that guys might not be worried about losing minutes. Like, when they go in there, they want to stay out there because, you know, you're not guaranteed to play more than 15 or 20 minutes if you're coming off the bench. If you took someone away, then they, you know, don't have to worry about that as much. And then that way, maybe they play looser, they play freer, and then you don't get games like we saw on Saturday night. So it is, and then there's just the, you know, guys accepting roles in general. I think that might be the bigger issue.
Well, let's say you could right now just make two players disappear on this team. What two would you make disappear to make this a better cohesive unit?
Probably Rozier might be one. I just think that he's been great, and has, you know, when Kyrie isn't there and he gets that starting role, he's terrific. But clearly that's, you know, Kyrie, or at least the Celtics hope Kyrie's not going anywhere.
Yeah.
So just as a bench guy, just someone who runs the offense for 10 or 15 minutes, like, I feel like they could use some more consistency there, and he hasn't given them that. So, I mean, if I had to, I mean, they need him because you need insurance for Kyrie.
Right.
But just in terms of the big picture, in terms of just if you put in just someone who could handle the ball better and distribute the ball more, I would probably think that that's one guy that they might be better off with.
Well, you talk about the old, you know, versus the young and the veterans versus these younger guys. And Fred's right. I mean, I think one of the biggest problems is that you have a young core that's kind of being talked down to. You know, when Kyrie said that, you know, I know how LeBron feels. You know, these other guys are going, dude, without you, we made it to game 7 of the Eastern Conference Finals.
Sure.
So you've got this tension between the two of them. Who do you think is the leader in causing that tension on both sides of the squad? It seems like Kyrie is the one in the older guys. Who's the one in the younger crew who's like, I don't want to be talked to that way?
I mean, just based on his comments, Jaylen Brown, as someone, you know, he came back out after Kyrie made those comments in New York about it, the young guys. He was said publicly the next game, without picking out Kyrie, but like, hey, we can't be pointing fingers publicly right now. We have to like be as one unit. And I mean, that was kind of seen as a direct response to Kyrie.
God, it almost seems like Brad needs to make a choice. Or, well, somebody needs to make a choice. Danny Ainge needs to make a choice. It's because I could see this team being very successful if it didn't have some of the veterans.
Well,
now, I love Kyrie Irving, but if Kyrie Irving was gone, I think the team could grow together. They're young, you know. I think they could be a very cohesive unit. However, I also think that this would be a great team if you took away Jaylen Brown and maybe Terry Rozier, because it seems like Jason Tatum's buying into what the rest of the guys are doing. He fits into his role. He does it fine, and to me, it almost seems like you got to choose one and roll with it because the two sides aren't meshing.
Well, that's the problem. I mean, the problems that this franchise had 6 weeks ago, 2 months ago, are still there. And Brad Stevens, who's been great at galvanizing young guys to come out and play their best, now has a lot of infighting. It's the veterans against the young players. And he's got a lot of guys who just don't seem to want to play defense at times. And Brad Stevens has said multiple times during his tenure here, we're at our best when we defend. So you have these two problems, which have been kind of evident for the better part of, actually, since the preseason, where he kept telling all of us, sure, we're not very good. And that hasn't changed.
even though they're winning 10 out of 11. So I ask you, Brian, as a guy who's there every night, how does Brad Stevens solve this? He hasn't so far.
Yeah, that's a tough one. And to your point, Rich, about just like breaking it up right now, the problem is they want to get Anthony Davis. And so maybe if that, you know, carrot wasn't there in the offseason, they would, Danny would have done something to shake things up here.
Because he mentioned a mystery player that he had talked about.
Right.
Who do you think that was?
I think that was either, that'd be Rozier or Morris. That'd be Mike, two guesses.
Morris? Why would you get rid of Morris?
That's what I think, too. But, like, the only reason why you get rid of Morris is because you're not going to be able to keep him after the year, probably. Okay. But I think they decided, they looked into it. They didn't see anything they liked, so they didn't do it. But I would think, I mean, Rozier would be my guess, but I think Morris is a possibility there, too.
And that, would that contribute to why he would want to talk like that?
Conceivably, absolutely.
Yeah, maybe. I mean, that's didn't even think about it that way. Yeah, Morris.
Because Danny said he talked to the guy that they were thinking about trading.
Yeah, yeah.
And so that could put you in a foul mood.
Sure.
And I was actually past a deadline, though, right?
Yeah, I mean, it's over now. So, but yeah, yeah, maybe, know, he but has it back, just, maybe he has him back of his head, absolutely.
Yeah, but just the idea that they would be willing to part with you could piss you off. I mean, it certainly seems to piss everyone off.
But, no, when you're looking back at what Brad Stevens might have to do here with this group, like, he has, you know, tried to give everyone consistent minutes, tried to keep everyone happy, mm-hmm. you know, rolling with the young guys through their struggles, rolling with Gordon Hayward through his ups and downs. And maybe, comes to a point where you have to, like, you know, have a harder hand in terms of how you're dealing with this. And if guys aren't playing defense and you call a timeout and the guy's out there and the same mistake happens again, you're going to bench him or you got to try something else. You got to change it up. Like, Ojale has been great on defense for this team several times this year. He didn't sniff the floor the other night.
Yeah, yeah.
And so stuff like that, like, you know, in past years, Brad has been, I feel like, better just mixing it up and trying different things and, you know, going deeper into his bench. But it seems like he's a little afraid to do that this year because he doesn't want to tick Rozier off or Jaylen Brown off or anyone else off who's already being like, hey, we're not playing enough. We want to play more.
All right. When we get back, I want to ask you if whether any of this stuff that's been going on. And once again, they've won 10 of the last 13, but these were just horrible losses, two in a row. And you're right. It's as soon as the eyes go off the NFL, they turn on to the Celtics just in time for them to crap themselves on national TV twice. So if you think, I want to know if what's going on with this team is bad enough to scare off Kyrie Irving. Because I think that's every Celtics' biggest fear is that they sign Anthony Davis, but Kyrie Irving leaves, which means Anthony Davis leaves after 1 year, and then all of a sudden, all of your young guys are gone, and you're left with nothing at that point.
All right, we'll talk to Brian Robb about that, 617-779-0985. We'll be right back.
For the latest podcasts, for the latest sports news, and for Tetra and Rich, download the 98.5 The Sports Hub app now.
.985 The Sports Hub. We're Toucher and Rich. Brian Robb from BostonSportsJournal.com. He is the Celtics beat writer. A bad weekend for the Celtics. A disastrous loss on Saturday. Even though they have been racking up wins, there's been some stuff behind the scenes that we've heard about. We've heard about the team don't hate each other, but there's no real camaraderie. We've heard that there is a disconnect between the veteran players and the younger players, and you can see why. And then there's the Kyrie Irving situation and the Anthony Davis situation. Now, John, you're worried about this team.
Yeah. Yes, I'm very worried about this team. The collection of talent is too good for them to play like this, and I guess I've kind of been waiting for them to get over the hump and put everything behind them, and they win 10 out of 11, and I'm thinking, okay, there it is, but then you have the games against the Lakers and the Clippers pop up, and it shows that the problems still exist. They're just able to put it aside long enough against bad competition. And they have a very big game. Well, I mean, it's tough to say big when you're 55 games in and you still have 6 weeks or 2 months left in the season. But tomorrow night is a game that will pretty much show where two franchises are. Philadelphia just got Tobias Harris. They have the best starting five in the Eastern Conference right now. And they just put up 143 points on the Lakers last night. And I was worried that Jimmy Butler wouldn't play well with other people, but it seems at least for a couple of games that he has. And this is Philadelphia looking to make a statement that, okay, not only are we better than the Celtics, but we're ready to take on the Eastern Conference. And the Celtics are a team in a little bit of a tailspin at this point, Brian.
No question about it. And not just that game, John. You look at the schedule for the next 2 weeks.
Right.
You got first game after the All-Star break in Milwaukee, and then shortly, I think 2 games later, in Toronto. So you're going to get tested. All these teams have added new pieces. They're playing, you know, they're obviously ahead of you in the standings. And so you got to go in there, and they all pose mismatches based on, you know, who's going to guard Tobias Harris if you're the Celtics, who's going to, you know, figure out how to deal with Giannis when he has so many shooters around him. So Brad Stevens has his, you know, work cut out for him here. But this team, they have, when they play the elite opposition, I feel like you don't see, if you look at all their bad losses this year, they've kind of come against 500 teams or worse. They've lost at, you know, to Phoenix at home, to New York, Magic, obviously the Clippers and the Lakers the last couple of games. But they've generally shown up in all these, you know, top-tier matchups. So it will be very interesting to see just how they respond to this and what, you know, how much they get their house in order here in the next couple of days.
You talk about responding. You know, there are a lot of good teams that have not played well at points during the regular season in years past. And there's that one seminal moment where the light bulb goes on and goes, okay, enough of this crap. We got to play together. I thought it had happened after a team meeting, you know, after that disastrous West Coast road trip, and they played well for a while, and then they sunk back. And then they win 10 or 11, and then they lose two games. I just keep wondering what is it going to take to get these guys to realize that they play much better together than as a bunch of individuals. They blow a 28-point lead on Saturday night. Is that enough to slap this team in the face? And if it's not, and we talked a little bit about this before you came in, what does that say about the leadership role that Kyrie Irving seems so desperately to have?
Or Brad Stevens
as well. We shouldn't leave him out. And to give Brad Stevens credit, he took it on himself on Saturday.
Yeah, no question. And I think that is, you know, going back to Kyrie's comments earlier in the year, like asking for the veteran, you know, 15 games in, because he might have just seen this coming. He might have seen, like, listen, like, you know, maybe he just, you know, he's trying to figure out the leadership thing on the fly. Obviously, we know all that stuff that happened with LeBron, the phone call, all that. And yeah, I mean, from a Celtics standpoint, they have to make sure that, you know, if Marcus Morris says he's not having fun, you got to make sure Kyrie's having fun, because, you know, and obviously how this team finishes the year is going to depend obviously a lot in his decision for his future, one would think. And so is it going to be a situation where you're going to have to wait to the playoffs for everyone to kind of buy in and like put their own individual agendas aside? Are they able to do that before then? Because if they don't do it before then, the problem is, guys, they're going to be playing two series on the road in the East playoffs.
You can't go into a playoff series with Milwaukee and Toronto and not have home court advantage in at least one of them.
Right.
And that's right now what they're looking at. And I wonder if Brad Stevens has to get to the point where he has to be willing to piss some people off and say, okay, you're not playing well, you're not playing today. Whether it be Marcus Morris or Jaylen Brown or Jason Tatum or Terry Rozier, and just say, look, we're shortening up the rotation. I'm going with guys that are playing hard and not worry about egos. And you said it during the last segment, he's done his best to massage minutes to keep everyone happy, but you're at a point now where you need to make a bigger run than the run you just made, and you have a lot of tough games coming. And maybe you need to play the next 10 or 15 games like a playoff series and shorten guys up and not play Gordon Hayward, who has been a liability on the defensive end at times.
Yeah, how long is that going to – do you think that that's going to be a factor? Because, I mean, that's a disaster right now with how much he takes up of the budget and everything else.
Just got to forget about that kind of stuff at this point.
No, I understand that, but I mean, how long does this are they hamstrung by this?
I mean, as far as the season goes, like, it's going to be a situation where, I mean, this might even contribute to like the tension for the young guys, just seeing like, you know, Hayward's obviously getting some extra leash from Stevens.
Right.
And he's not up to that level. And if you're Jaylen Brown or someone like that, you see games where you're playing better than him or you think you are. And then Hayward's out there in crunch time, you know, Saturday night was one of those. So, yeah, I mean, Brad kind of has to take a look at that. Hayward still, despite his struggles, he still does some things well. Brad trusts him, obviously, with his past. So, like, but you also have to come to the realization that, like, you know, maybe he's just, this is what he is this year. Next year, you know, when you have a full offseason again, the Celtics are going to bet, obviously, that he's able to come back at closer to an all-star level. You're not going to move him prematurely. But for now, you know, Stevens, I think, just has to look closer at him on a game-to-game basis and be like, if he doesn't have it on a certain night, he plays 15 minutes as opposed to 25 minutes.
How bad does he look to you defensively?
His positioning's good for him, but it's just the speed's just not there. Like, he can't hang with faster guards, and that's what Brad Stevens asks him to do sometimes. So it's almost on Brad to a degree. Like, you know, Brad sees what we all see with him, you would think. And you have to just adjust to what he can do and adjust who he's guarding, and you can't expect him to do what he did in his prime in Utah, especially on like a defensive basis.
What is it going to take? I mean, do you think this was the wake-up call, getting back to what I just talked about? Do you think blowing a 28-point lead to a bad team at home, is that the wake-up call? Well, we look back at what Marcus Morris said and go, okay, this is the point where they all woke up, they all realized it's, you know, we got to pull it together for the betterment of the team. Is that enough of a slap in the face to get this team turned around?
I don't know, John, because they've had so many of these moments this year. And still
well,
have slid should, back
well
down.
Let's compare it to the others.
Right? I mean,
this one might be worse than a lot of the others.
This
here.
Is true.
What happened Saturday night might wind up being the low point of all the bad things that have happened to this team. And it hasn't happened all at once. They'll play well and they'll sink back. They'll play well and they sink back. Does this bottoming out, is this as low as it gets? Do you think?
Yeah, for the regular season, I think so. I don't think you can. I mean, it's crunch time right now. You're in the 5 seed, so you're not even hosting the first-round series right now. So this is a situation where if you're not going to wake up from this and fall in line, it's not going to happen at all this year, I don't think. And so the question I have is just, like, is it going to take to the postseason for it to happen? Because all these guys, you know, they have the experience. They know that, hey, we can go, you know, we can kind of come together during those moments. We've already done it before. If you're the young guys, the older guys, the veterans, you know, it's an 82-game grind. They've obviously been there before. So, but the like we said, the issue of that is, are you going to be playing from the 4 or 5 seed in that situation? And are you good enough to overcome that? And, you know, I'm not sure they are.
All right. Celtics have an open roster spot after trading Jabari Bird at the trade deadline to Atlanta. And we had Danny Ainge on here on Friday, and he said, you know, guys, we're pretty much set. We don't necessarily need anyone, but he obviously kept that roster spot open to give himself some flexibility. There are guys on the market that can come in and help this team. A guy I really like, doesn't play a lot of defense, but a guy who's a double-double guy on the offensive end, is very good at grabbing rebounds, and is Cantor, who the Knicks kind of forced out.
They say cheap points, cheap rebounds.
Yep. And he's able to help you at least on one end of the floor.
They say it's cheap. It's not in crunch time.
That could be. And there are other guys. Robin Lopez, who we talked about off the air. Heck, even Markieff Morris is out there. You know, Greg Monroe, who helped the Celtics last year, is out there. Do you think the Celtics will bring in a big guy to help for that last roster spot? Because Aaron Baines is hurt again, and I'm thinking, okay, maybe it's just one of those seasons. It's not the first time Baines has been hurt this year. Whether it be freak injury or not, maybe he just has a lot of bad luck following him around. It sure looks like the Celtics could use a backup big guy.
Yeah, I think it's all going to depend on Baines' health, John. I feel like you look at him, if he is good to go after the All-Star break, then I don't think you bring someone in, because Tice is still playing well right now. Like, Tice isn't the problem with this team, even though he's undersized. But if Baines is out again for another couple weeks, then you have to take a long look at it, like you said, just for insurance purposes, because you can't afford to lose Baines, obviously, because this team, you know, kind of falls off a cliff defensively without him. Just to have that guy in the presence in the middle, just holding down the defense. And so whether Cantor's the answer to that, I'm not sure. I think we're going to see some more names hit the market potentially for bigs in the upcoming days. So, you know, Marcin Gortat's another guy who might be out there. But the problem
is, he struggled a lot this year too.
The problem is, all these anyone who wants to play is not going to come here, because you have nine guys, they're not off minutes for guys anyway. So you're not going to expect another big guy to come in and get the 15, 20 minutes a game he wants, I think.
All right, Brian Robb, there you go. Celtics beat writer. Read his stuff at bostonsportsjournal.com. Thanks so much for the time, sir.
Thanks for having me, guys.
All right, so here are the headlines.
Wrestling Inside the Ropes, a weekly podcast for WWE fans with James Stewart and Mike Riley.
The Rock knows exactly who you are.
Available at 985thesportshub.com, epodstudios.com, and the Sports Hub app. Listen, watch, react in real time. Toucher and Rich are on twitch.tv. Just follow the Sports Hub.
.985 The Sports Hub. We're Toucher and Rich. Is this oh my God, I was talking about this song yesterday.
I heard this, I guess Hardy added it to the music. I heard this over the weekend. I'm like, this might be the worst song of the last 30 years.
Well, what
if
happened
not,
was,
it's in the top five.
What happened is Shifty Shellshock, who's the leader of the band, is somehow related to a member of the Red Hot Chili Peppers, and they gave him
this Pretty Little Ditty without having to pay royalties on it, I believe. And so they were able to create that into the magic of Sugar Baby.
That's right.
All right. So there is this house. Now, Nick, come in here. Because Nick has used Airbnb and things like that. But this is a Zillow listing.
Right.
Which is when you want to buy a house. And it's this beautiful house in suburban Philadelphia. And it's like beautiful, but then it's got a sex dungeon. Now it's very
so naturally we bring Nick in here.
Well, no, yeah.
to talk about this
because it's got a sex dungeon.
Nick, your thoughts?
And it's like all over the place, and I can't figure out what some of these devices would do. And you can be also get it as an Airbnb for $750 a night on weekdays and $2,000 a night on weekends. I mean, there's sex like planks all over the place, and then there's like a pentagram that you I assume that you can attach someone onto. Now, Nick, you have been to Airbnbs. I would never do that in a million years.
Yeah, I have.
I'm not a big fan of them. 617-779-0985 if you have had experience like this. Now, you've been to Airbnbs. I think that they're disgusting.
Yep.
I think that the idea that you're staying in someone's home grosses me out. You have there's no standard of hygiene. You have no idea what they've been doing. I told you I had a friend who was renting his place out. Come to find that the man that was subletting it was shooting a very explicit gay pornography in it. Like very explicit. In terms of gay pornography, this would be considered extreme gay pornography.
Okay.
So he had to, you know, remove the man and then take the proper channels to clean the place. But you went Airbnb, and what happened?
I went to an Airbnb. I read the listing wrong, and it ended up I was staying in some like nook of this person's apartment in Chicago.
How did you read the listing wrong?
It said it was a private room. Technically, I didn't read it wrong. It said it was a private room, and it was one of my first times using it. So
did they have pictures of it?
Yeah. It looked like a private room, but it was essentially just this little corner of this person's room, and I was sleeping with a complete stranger in the same room.
All right, so now was it blocked off or anything? Was there like a curtain separating the two of you?
Kind of, but not really. It was like not really support.
So the person lived there full time?
Yeah.
And they were Airbnb-ing a corner?
Yeah.
All right, now why, like, what city was this in?
Chicago.
Okay, so Chicago. Now, you were you seeing friends there?
No, I went to Riot Fest.
Oh, so you went?
Yeah, that was for the music festival out there.
No, weren't you getting paid to go to Riot Fest?
No.
Oh, you just went for fun?
Yeah.
By yourself?
I went with a buddy, but he didn't fly in at that time. I flew in the day before.
Okay, and so instead of getting a hotel,
yeah,
how much did this cost you?
It cost me around like $100, $100 to $150, something between.
That didn't raise any kind of red flag?
No, not at the time. I haven't used an Airbnb since.
Okay, but did it say someone else was going to be staying there with you?
No, it didn't say that.
So what did you assume that it was? They said it was a room. Did you assume that that was the entire thing?
I just assumed that legitimately, maybe the person was going to be there. They didn't specify, and I thought it was going to be legit a private room to this.
You know, for like $220, you could have gotten an actual hotel room.
I know. That's why I don't use.
So you're just trying to scrape. Okay, so what happened? So you get there, and there's just like a nook.
Yeah.
Was there a bed?
It was like a rollout situation, like a futon without the support.
All right. Was there any kind of sheet?
Yes, there was.
Okay. They provided you with a sheet.
Yes.
Now, who were you staying with?
Who was I staying with? It was some girl.
Okay, that lived there?
Yeah.
Now, some people would think that oh, wow, that's not so bad. You're with a girl?
Yeah. No, this is fine. I was not interested.
Okay, so, but was she weird?
A little, yeah.
Okay, what was she doing?
I don't know. She was just sitting on her bed, and I was, like, trying to find any excuse. I did find an excuse. I just left and came back later. But she was just on her bed the whole time.
Well, sitting on the bed doesn't seem like that crazy.
No. It was just weird because I don't know.
Was she just like looking at you?
Yeah. I was just like.
How old?
It had to be in her 20s.
Okay.
But
Was the place clean?
Yeah, it was clean. But she was very, like, namaste.
Okay, so she was like a hippie.
Yeah.
Mm. All right, because these houses that have the sex dungeon, there was a growing up, and I have just found this out as an adult, is that growing up, there was a couple that you would, under no circumstances, want to see naked. A couple that the woman was so heavy that she had, like, to use a cane because she was so fat.
Uh-huh.
And then the husband was nothing to sneeze at, or nothing to that you would like. I mean, literally out of everyone, and all the ugly people in Farmington Hills, Michigan, myself included, these are the two people that you would least like to see have sex. Unless you have some extreme fetish. And they had this, I don't know, well, if you're old enough, did you ever go into a house that had like the...
I know where we're going with this.
Had like yes. The hole in the like the conversation pit?
Yes.
Okay, so what would happen?
I actually looked at when my wife and I were originally looking at houses about 12 years ago. I ran across a couple of these, and I did not know what they were at the time.
I'll tell you.
And then I found out afterwards, and it put a whole new perspective on why the house cost as much as it did.
Well, I'll tell you, if you put one of those in, it skyrockets. It's like putting in a big bathtub. If you put in a pit like that. That's going to last. What a dumbass
it was
did
called,
that.
It was called, when the real estate agent was talking, it was called the conversation pit.
Yeah, conversation pit is
yes,
what they
call
it. Yes,
only it was something else.
All right, so what it is that if, yes. For those of you who have never been into a total
And Nick,
scum
when you go
house,
house shopping, you might want to factor this in.
Yeah, right. Well, Nick, ow, Nick, look at the place. There's a divot in the floor. So what it is that it's like flat like a regular living room, and then there's... It goes down to a step and then down further.
That's right.
Mm-hmm. So it's like this hole in the
on
ground.
On four sides, yep.
Yeah, it's this hole in the ground. Or it can be a circle. I mean, it's unbelievable that people would do this to their houses. I mean, it takes 25% off the value of your house by having this. But apparently what these people would do, and if I knew it at the time, I would have been... Because we have, like, Cub Scout meetings in this
thing. All these houses were built, like, in the 50s. None of these houses were built, like, in the last 20 years.
Yeah, this was, like, a 70s situation.
That's right.
And apparently these people... Again, this woman was so heavy, she had to use a cane.
Mm-hmm.
These people would come in, and they would have these orgies. Like, these sex parties. And we would have Cub Scout meetings in that thing.
Mm-hmm.
The grossest people on the planet.
Mm-hmm.
And can you imagine now, like now if you, like, I mean, when I was in fifth grade, like people had hustlers in their house and people had like porn in their house. Can you imagine now if you went into someone's house and they had that laying out like that, you'd get arrested.
There are houses that I have visited and looked at to buy within 2 miles of the house I currently reside in that have it.
That have the pit?
They have the pit.
That's a situation that my friend lived in a neighborhood in suburban Atlanta, and it became a whole thing because all these couples would hang out together in his basement, and then it turned out that, like, everyone started sleeping with each other, and, like, 90% of them got divorced because they were all banging each other.
Yep.
But have you ever been... the question is, have you ever been in a house where there was... It had to have been when you were younger. If you ever went into a house, or maybe now, where the people seemed like they were, you know, mom, pa, America. But then when you got in there, there was either like a tremendous amount of pornography. Yeah,
weirdness.
Like I told you about the kid that we used to go to his house just to see it. His dad had...
Leather-bound, yes.
Playboy magazines, and it would be like 1974, and it was leather-bound.
Yep.
And it was prominently on... showcased in his office on a bookshelf.
I never had that. I never went to a kid's house and saw that.
But I just, it makes you think that every time you go into someone's house, there's something disgusting going on.
My uncle had that too. Like one of my uncles had those Playboys just scattered on the coffee table.
Like a barber shop?
What?
Like a barber shop?
Yeah, kind of.
Because when we were kids and you went into a barber shop, they would just have Playboys sitting there.
Really?
Penthouse and Playboy.
I didn't have that either. I guess I grew up in the wrong place, man. I never had that.
Oh, my God. 617-779-0985. When you grew
Playboys
up...
Playboys at the barbershop?
There were Playboys in the barbershop.
I don't remember that.
No one had Playboys at the barbershop.
I'm not saying no one. I'm just saying
there's
me.
I didn't see it. There's a place in the vicinity that still has Playboys in the barbershop.
In the vicinity, like here?
not in the vicinity of Dorchester, but in Boston proper, there is a barbershop that I'm aware of that still has. They have a cooler full of beer, Miller High Lifes, and they have Playboys.
Downtown Lexington didn't have that. I don't know what to tell you.
You didn't have a barbershop with Playboys?
I had barbershop, sure. You get your hair cut when you're like 7. I never had Playboys laying out, no.
I assumed it was always like finding stuff in the woods. Finding porn in the woods.
So look at the lines right out. Clearly I'm wrong. Because I'm looking at the phones. And we have 17 people on hold.
Yeah, Bird's in panic mode. He can't keep up with
I grew up a sheltered life, apparently.
Sean, go ahead.
Hey. Definitely had the Playboys in the barbershop. We put ESPN magazines or sporting news or whatever over it so our parents wouldn't see us reading through the Playboy as we're hiding so nobody else would see us in the waiting room.
Yeah, it was like torture because if you were there with your parents or your mom, like there would be these Playboys sitting there and you'd want so badly to look at them. Like it was literal torture for a young man. You'd be sitting there. And, yeah, they just was like, hey, you know, it's all good, baby. Adam, go ahead.
Hey, what's going on, guys?
Hey.
Hey, so, yeah, my great-grandfather owned a barbershop growing up. He had Playboys and penthouses everywhere. My cousin, myself, we would get them. We would try to sneak them in our shirts so we could bring them home with us. But, oh, yeah, he had them like they were just like the basic reading material in the barbershop, no doubt.
Yeah, right. It's like Reader's Digest. Oh, what? Imagine if your relative had a bunch of Playboys and penthouses laying around.
Oh, man, that's like...
You would be stealing.
Can I go visit Uncle Phil at work?
You'd be like Jesse James. Robbing a train. Let's go to... Mike, go ahead.
Hey, I brought my kid to a barbershop in Brighton like 2 years ago and there were Playboys all over the place.
Okay.
Don't say the name or where it is. Did they have a cooler full of Miller High Life?
No, I don't. I didn't notice the cooler of Miller High Life.
But. Was it a really small barbershop?
Yeah, man, it's right in Brighton Center there.
Yeah, okay, I know exactly what you're talking about.
All right, now I know what it is. Yes. Okay. Okay.
It's not Lassard's.
I know where it is.
Whoa. Alex, go ahead.
Hey, guys. I used to work as an estate cleaner, and oftentimes, you know, we'd come in after somebody had died, and we'd find porn. It was pretty common. But at one time in particular, we were working with this family, and they had a very wholesome grandfather. They kept talking about how wonderful he was and how much integrity he had. And in the basement, we just found tons and tons and tons of this very graphic pornography. It was horrific to...
Well, then he got cut off.
Not a barbershop story, but...
No, but finding pornography in people's houses.
Yep.
I got a story. I feel bad telling it, so I can't tell it.
Wait a minute. There's a story that you're hesitating to tell.
Yeah, all right. So this guy died. I'm going to pick it really...
Gloss it over. I mean, just basic
really
stuff.
Really obtuse. Okay, all right, fine. So... Or not a lot of detail. So this guy died and he was murdered. It was tragic.
Okay.
And everyone was at the house like convalescing.
Sure.
And they were going through his room and like taking out stuff.
Yeah, what a great guy he was. Yeah,
and there was like blow-up dolls.
Oh, jeez.
And like stuff like that.
So it caught everyone off guard, I'm imagining.
Yeah, I mean, it wasn't like the most, you know, appropriate thing. Like, they were just because they were cleaning out.
Right.
And, like, people were sitting over there, like, hanging out.
Right. People seeing that stuff being carried out of the room, I'm imagining. Hey.
Oh, that's not a bad segment, Danny boy.
Yeah, that's one of my questions, Fred. Get your affairs in order. But what if you were to pass tomorrow?
I was just going to say.
One of the things that people are finding.
If you're fading out of the picture.
Convalescing, yeah.
If you're fading out of the picture, maybe you take the time to... Take care of
your affairs in order.
I was just going to say, if that falls under getting your affairs in order, maybe you throw out the blow-up doll when you're 85.
Well, no. Maybe. This was a young man.
Okay.
Okay. An adult, but a young man.
Okay.
That's a good question. Like, is there anything that you would have to throw out? Now in the computer age, probably not. Unless you have some loyalty.
Get your laptop wiped.
Unless you had some, like...
Make sure.
unless you had some, well, at that point, I mean, everyone's looking at porn. Unless you, like, have a vintage Jugs or something that maybe...
Your family could benefit from the sale
or,
of.
Or maybe, sure. That's right.
That extra $100 is going to go a long way.
Well, if you're getting $100 for a Jugs magazine.
Well, it depends on who's posing, Fred. If it was that model's only time in a magazine, then, you know.
All right, Chris, go ahead.
Hey, how's it going, guys? Hey. I can remember as a kid, you're talking about the pornos at the barbershop. Going in, I'm probably like 7 or 8, you know. I don't live in the best area, you know, a little ghetto-y, I guess you could say. Old Italian guy down the street, old, real old guy, holdout. You'd go in there, he'd have pornos all over the place. I'm not just talking Playboy boys. I'm talking the good stuff, club, you know, the dirty stuff.
Oh, mm-hmm. God.
Yep.
Yeah, like when I was a kid, I saw a Nugget magazine.
No, I have not seen one. You've described it at length, both on and off the air. I have not seen one of those.
It was
one, but that's not one I'm going to seek out either.
It freaks me out about the internet because all these are available, but there was a magazine. Jim Murray knows what it is because he contacted me one time after I talked about it. I saw Nugget magazine, and I ran home, and I just went to my mom. And I told her everything that was in it. And I just was like, what's going on? This is no bueno. I don't like it. No, 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 no. Like, if classified ads for, like, amputees and stuff. Oh, I mean, just, ooh. No, ooh. Not something that I was. Oh, man. I just, but I'm not lying to you. I ran right home. I was in some kid's treehouse. And I just went, I got to go.
How
just,
old were you?
11 or 12, okay. Probably.
Okay. Ugh.
Okay. And because it's Nugget was a magazine for psychopaths.
Sure. Like, so as you described.
There's no, well, I can't tell you what was in it.
No, but I've seen it. I've never seen one, so.
There were, like, acts that I thought were literal, is all I'll say. Frank, go ahead. This is the final call. Frank, go ahead.
So, my buddy and I were helping out his grandfather whose basement got flooded. And so we're in there cleaning it all out, and he's got these old boxes that was kind of floating around. We open one up, and it's all pictures of guys in, like, these Masonic, like, temple hats and, like, these robes. And we're like, oh, that's kind of weird, whatever. And we go to the next box, and all of a sudden it's all of them having these massive orgies, like 10 or 12 different women. Again, not very attractive women. I think that's a common theme here. We're just going all in on each other. And, the guy was about 75, 80 years old. He was probably about 60, 65 of these pictures. So.
All right.
Oh, like eyes
so he was in them. Was he still alive?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, he was.
All right. So how did you face him again?
Well, so we basically put all this stuff in a box, and, like, threw it in the corner and tried to, like, get it to the truck as fast as possible without, like, him noticing because I couldn't look him in the eyes afterwards. Like, we were only there for one or two more days. And I was like, I'll clean everything outside, and, like, I'll just throw it in the truck. I didn't want to go through any more pictures or anything like that.
Oh, Masonic orgies.
It was, yeah, they had, like, hats with, like, their names on them and, like, president status and things. It wasn't right.
They had, like, fez hats on, like, yeah. Mr. Cunningham
water
used to wear.
Buffaloes. Why would you keep those? Why would you keep them?
Because they're his personal photos. He was in them.
I know, but...
Because he probably got off on them.
Okay.
I mean, again, this is pre-internet.
Yeah.
I used to search my parents' basement. I used to search everywhere. Not a drop of porn. Nothing. It sucked. No porn anywhere. I was, like, the only house that didn't have it. All right. We'll be back. David Pastrnak hooked us up a little bit during Cuts for a Cause or Pucks and Paddles. Playoff time in the NBA and NHL. Baseball's in full swing, and FanDuel is your place to bet on every game. Right now, new customers get $150 in bonus bets guaranteed. That's $150, win or lose. Bet on everything from slap shots to home runs to slam dunks on an app that's safe, secure, and easy to use. What are you waiting for? Visit FanDuel.com/Fred and make your first bet an automatic win. FanDuel, America's number one sports book.
21 plus and present in Massachusetts. First online real money wager only. $10 first deposit required. Bonus issued is non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire 7 days after receipt. See terms at sportsbook.fanduel.com. Hope is here. Gambling helpline ma.org or call 800-327-5050 for 24/7 support. Play it smart from the start. GameSenseMA.com or call 1-800-GAM-1234.
Visit Plain Ridge Park Casino this spring for all the playoff hoops and hockey action and the return of baseball. They've got the biggest screens, the best food and drink, plus they're giving away Penn Cash bonuses and prizes to Penn Play Rewards members. Not a member? Join today by downloading and registering for the Penn Play app from the App Store. Unlock all the fun, including a chance to win up to $2,000 in Penn Cash. All this and more. Make Plain Ridge Park Casino your spring sports viewing headquarters. Must be 21 plus. Play it smart from the start. Live chat at GameSenseMA.com. Hope is here. 800-327-5050 or GamblingHelplineMA.org.
Be honest. Wouldn't you like to play more golf this year? As the State Golf Association for Massachusetts, Mass Golf is ready to help, and they want you to become a member. By joining, you'll automatically get a handicap index from the USGA, access to play exclusive private clubs through Mass Golf events, and a bundle of additional benefits. Best of all, it costs just $55 to join. Visit massgolf.org and make today a golf day.